Holy Supper in the new church is different. In our readings this evening, we will hear the words of the Lord as he explains how the knowledge of correspondences enables those in the new church to partake in the sacrament of the Holy Supper in a way never available before. Hear now the word of the Lord as it is written in the second coming in regard to the Holy Supper. Without a knowledge of correspondences of natural with spiritual things, no one can know the uses and benefits of the Holy Supper. Heretofore, Christianity has existed only in name, excepting some. But now, because true Christianity is beginning to dawn, and a new church meant by the New Jerusalem in the Apocalypse is now being established by the Lord, it has pleased the Lord to reveal the spiritual sense of the word, to enable this church to enter into the real use and benefit of these sacraments, baptism and the Holy Supper. And this is done when men with the eyes of the Spirit, that is, with the understanding, see the holiness that is concealed within them and apply it to themselves by the means which the Lord has taught in the Word. The Holy Supper includes and comprehends the whole of divine worship instituted in the Israelitish church. Washings were instituted in the ancient churches and afterwards baptisms in their place, which nevertheless were only representative and significative rites, in order that heaven might be conjoined with the human race and specifically with the man of the church. For heaven is conjoined to man when he is in ultimates, that is, in such things as are in the world as to his natural man, and in such things as are in heaven as to his spiritual man. There cannot be conjunction in any other way. It was for this reason that baptism and the Holy Supper were instituted, and that by means of such things as are in the world, the Word was written, and that it contains a spiritual sense wherein are heavenly things, and that the sense of the letter of the Word is natural and contains a spiritual sense within it. Therefore, when the Lord came into the world, he abolished representative acts, all of which were external, and established a church which was in all respects internal. So the Lord banished the symbols and revealed the genuine forms. All of these representatives, the Lord retained but two, which should include in one complex all things pertaining to the internal church. These two are baptism in the place of washings and the Holy Supper in place of the Lamb, which was sacrificed each day and in greater fullness at the Feast of the Passover. The correspondences by which the Word, as to each and all its parts, have been written, possess such power and strength that it may be called the power and strength of divine omnipotence. For through these correspondences, the natural acts conjointly with the spiritual, and the spiritual with the natural. Thus, the all of heaven with the all of the world. Thence it is that the two sacraments are correspondences of spiritual with natural things. Thence is their strength and power. The Holy Supper was instituted by the Lord that by it there may be conjunction of the church with heaven, thus with the Lord. Therefore, it is the most holy thing of worship. When man partakes of the bread, which is the body, he is conjoined to the Lord by the good of love to him and from him. And when he partakes of the wine, which is the blood, he is conjoined to the Lord by the good of faith in him and from him. Those who worthily approach the Holy Supper are in the Lord, and the Lord is in them. Consequently, conjunction with the Lord is effected by the Holy Supper. Flesh has various significations in the word. In the highest sense, it signifies the Lord's divine human, and particularly the divine good of the divine love that proceeds from him. That flesh signifies the divine human as to the good of love is evident in John. Jesus said, "I am the living bread, which cometh down out of heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove one with another, saying, "How can this one give his flesh to eat?" Jesus therefore said to them, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, except ye that eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall not have life in yourselves. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. This is the bread which cometh down out of heaven." That by flesh is here meant the proprium of the Lord's divine human, which is the divine good of the divine love, is manifestly evident, and it is that which in the Holy Supper is called his body. The body there, or the flesh, is the divine good, and the blood is the divine truth. And because bread and wine signify the same as flesh and blood, bread divine good and wine divine truth, therefore these were commanded in their place. Concerning the bread, we read, in the word bread means in general every celestial and spiritual food. The need for the latter to be free of all impurities or unholiness was represented by the unleavened bread. For leaven means the evil and falsity by means of which celestial and spiritual things are rendered impure and profane. Unleavened means what has been purified, because yeast means falsity arising from evil, so that unleavened or made without yeast means pure or free from that falsity. Concerning the wine, we read, wine is called the blood of grapes because both expressions signify holy truth proceeding from the Lord. But wine is predicated of the spiritual church, and blood of the celestial church. And for this reason, wine was commanded in the Holy Supper. Be it known that the purification of truth from falsity with man cannot possibly exist without fermentation, so-called, that is, without the combat of falsity with truth and truth with falsity. But after combat has existed and truth has conquered, then falsity falls down like dregs, and the truth comes forth purified, like wine which grows clear after fermentation, the dregs falling to the bottom. And finally, concerning the power of correspondence, as we read, the greatest power is in correspondences, because in them heaven and the world, or the spiritual and the natural, are together. That for this reason the word was written by pure correspondences, wherefore through it there is the conjunction of man with heaven, and thus with the Lord. The Lord also by this means is in firsts, and at the same time in ultimates. On this account, the sacraments have been instituted through correspondences, and therefore there is the divine power in them. Amen.